You're listening to another episode of Inside Ecosystem, a podcast where we bring you fun and exciting topics about tech and its ecosystem in Nigeria. It's Mano, and I'm joined by my co-host, Chuka. Hey, Chuka, how you doing?
Hey, what up, people? How you doing? Hey, I'm good. Sorry, keep the flow.
Chuka was a little too distracted.
I'm okay.
How's everything going? Like, how's life last 2 weeks, 1 week?
Well, you know, we're just trying to, keep it alive. You know, it's hard out here in the streets. We're just trying to get it.
Sorry,
you know,
what street
make
are you
money.
Talking about?
Street now.
I think I just invented a new word. The Teco Street. Ah.
No, you're not. It, please, everybody, ignore him. Thank you very much.
Too late, bro. Too late. All right. In this episode, we brought in a guest. Her name is Ofre Ugwu. Ofre is a recent MSc graduate from University College Dublin in Ireland. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. So basically, Dublin, right?
Say University College Dublin.
University College Dublin.
I just want everybody to forgive us for how we're pronouncing some fancy words today. It's not easy. We have an international
class
guest on the show, so
the culture class. All right. So we're just going to be talking about schooling abroad. So a lot of people leave Nigeria a lot. Example of it. They leave Nigeria to go study abroad to acquire knowledge and skills so that they can obviously become better people. So in this episode, we just want to know a little bit more about that. Since some of us are here, we don't have that much experience. We don't have the first-hand information about how it is. So we'd like to bring that into this podcast. And what a way to start with Ofre. She's, like I said earlier, she's in Ireland. All right, so she's going to be talking to us about that place and how studying abroad is in general. So to start off, Ofre, just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, everyone. Hello. My name is Ofre, and I'm a graduate of Information Systems from University College Dublin. I completed my degree in 2020. So basically, I've been here for a year and 4 months. Would that be 4 months? November, December. Okay, yes. A year and 4 months. Yes. And I'm happy to be here. I'm also a graduate of Covenant University. Eagles! But I'm an Eagle also. I finished from computer science in 2019. And I moved forward with my master's in information systems to get a much more general knowledge of the techo system. It's been interesting. It's been an interesting ride. And I'm done now. Not to toot my own horn, but I finished the first class in information systems.
Wow. Yay!
God willing. Wow.
So I'm in the job markets now. And
Okay.
So I will be speaking about schooling abroad, resources, what you need in case you are thinking about schooling abroad, or because I am in Ireland presently, I only know about Ireland, so I'll be giving information about Ireland only. I don't really know much about other places than where I've been, because it's the only place I've been. So
would you be kind enough to teach us and our guests how to pronounce Ireland? did I say it right?
It's as easy as it sounds. Ireland.
Ireland.
Just roll your tongue. Ireland.
Ireland.
Ireland. Ireland.
Can we just say island? Because I think my
you can say island. That too. Don't kill yourself.
Okay. So don't from now, with Lagos
island, island.
You know, Lagos island is actually pronounced island. Like when you say island, I they go island.
Exactly, it's the same thing. The same WhatsApp.
Wow, Avery, thank you so much for coming on this episode.
My pleasure.
Wow, masters, can I say God mind again? Because ever since I finished my BSc, I don't think I've considered going back to school. But like, I mean, you guys are really strong mentally.
Well, that's valid too.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, definitely is. But like, not everyone has to do a master's. It's not compulsory, especially if the field or the career path you're choosing to go through does not require it. I don't think you should go to school for anything that your goals and your career dreams don't require. So, it's valid too.
Yeah, but like if Elon Musk was to choose people to go to Mars with him, he'll probably choose you over me. Do you understand? Like your value.
I think that he would choose people with more experience or people who know how to get the job done.
Yeah.
Regardless of what their degrees are.
Afri, you seem nice. You're trying not to talk like you don't understand.
I'm speaking facts.
Okay. That's okay.
All right, so the first question we usually ask our guests before we start talking about the topic is, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
So what would you be doing if you weren't in tech?
What would I be doing? I would probably be a therapist.
Wow, that's like the best answer I've gotten so far.
I didn't plan for this, but to be honest, I just really enjoy making people feel better about themselves. So that's the closest thing that came to my mind. So I like to think I'm an encourager.
Nice.
I like to think I'm, even though in my head I'm not as optimistic, I like to think I'm an optimist person.
Yeah.
If I wasn't doing tech, I'll probably go into psychology and be a therapist and help people get out of their heads and help them see the brighter things of life and, you know, just live and not stress too much. You know, just that ray of sunshine in everybody's life, you know?
Yeah. Do you currently have people that do that for you? Do you have a ray of sunshine in your life at the moment?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, ray of sunshine for different things, you know? You miss.
You can meet
different people for different issues. So, yeah, I have that sort of support group around me, you know?
That's nice.
Mental rays of sunshine.
Are you guys selling application form or something?
Or what?
It's only Nigeria selling application form.
If I was a teacher. Because sometimes I tend to go through a lot, and you know, it's not really easy.
Why are you intellectualizing?
Yeah, I understand, especially in lockdown. It can be very tough.
So,
in lockdown in Nigeria, again, life is
exactly like that's double, as in naturally, even when you started, you're already losing. It's tough. But yeah,
okay.
I've never said that before. Like, I've never thought of that before. But like, that's something, you know, I think I would, you know, be doing if I wasn't doing anything tech related.
That's our effect.
That's nice.
Techo effect.
Nice. Sounds good to me.
Okay, so can you just talk a little bit about life in Ireland and how is it different from Nigeria?
It's island from now on.
Okay, island.
Yes, so, yes.
How is life like different from Nigeria? Obviously, anywhere outside Nigeria is very different because Nigeria is a very unique place. Let me just say that. Nigeria is unique. So anywhere outside would definitely be very different. So for you, how different has it been the past 1 year that you've been there?
Cultural shocks, you know, things that you saw and you were like, or more.
Not so
for you, that kind of thing. Yeah,
So there was a lot of culture shocks for me because it was the first time I was traveling abroad in my entire life. Yeah, it was totally different. It was very interesting to see how people treated other people like human beings. Just respecting humanity in the sense that you don't just go around embarrassing people no matter what it is. Like, they try their best to respect people no matter what they do, no matter who they are, no matter what they have even done. For example, how much they respect even people that shoplift from stores. Wow. I mean, like, in a natural Nigerian setting, if they catch somebody, not even stealing, but looking as if you are going to steal, talk you down and everything like that. But it's totally different here. Like, it's really interesting to see that even people who are supposedly criminals, in quote, they still, you know, handle them properly and with respect. And Ireland is interesting. It's not interesting. It's actually quite boring. Everybody who lives here knows that. But it's peaceful. You know, that's what I would say. There's no Owambe, my brother.
Man, that's so. Like that.
Everywhere is just quiet. Except you have your friends. Business. Yeah, exactly. That's another culture shock I had. Everybody mind their business. They mind their business as if their business is paying them 30,000 for just minding their business. Like, the way they will face their front, and you never even believe anybody can face their front like that. Like, there could be a whole circus happening and people would just be walking by like nothing is there. But it's interesting because it's peaceful and you can, should I say, you can be anything you want to be because people will not judge you for that. But there are people that will judge you. I will not even lie that one. There's still those that will look and, you know, make scornful faces. But yeah, you can literally, you know, do whatever you like and people would respect your humanness first before judging you for any other thing. But I was talking about the fact that Ireland is peaceful in the sense that, you know, you hardly find them in the news. You know, you hardly hear anything about Ireland in the news except they are on unprecedented weather. I mean, like, you can have, like, four seasons in one day. Wow. Like, this literally happened not even 3 days ago, literally. It was snowing in the morning, and then it got to 12 p.m., and it was very sunny, and then it rained around 4 p.m., and then it was, like, normal in the night. So, like, literally, we had four seasons in one day. So, yeah, the unprecedented weather, But yeah, I'll say the people are nice. Let's move to the people. I'll say relatively, most of the time, I'd say 60% of the time, people are nice. I will say that because when I first came, more people were nice to me. And, you know, first impression matters a lot. So you're walking on the street and you're not sure where you're going and you just, you know, ask somebody around you. They're going to smile like, oh, of course, they know you are an immigrant because of how you look. So they'll be so nice to help you. So I experienced that a lot when I first came. So relatively, the people are nice. There's hardly racism here. Emphasis on the word hardly, because there's no way where there's no racism. But it's not that rampant. It's not that common. The people are relatively nice. I mean, it depends on where you live also. Depends on where you stay. But most of the time.
I'm taking notes because, you know...
you guys conflicted
between
no way. Stop it.
London, Canada, and I just added
Ireland is a good place. You know, UK is out of the group chat because they're no longer in the EU. So like the process is probably much more complex now. I mean, I can't speak for them, but like, so Ireland is basically the only English speaking country in the EU as we speak.
Wow. Yeah.
So they are looking to get more immigrants in the coming years for there because there's literally 5 million people in this country. The whole country.
That's like... The full country. That's
not even up to half of Lagos. Exactly. Like, that's not even up to half of Lagos. Yes.
Emmanuel.
So, yeah.
Make me run out.
And recently, this is for the Tego system. Recently, not even recently, some years ago, most of the tech headquarters, you can find them here. Is it Facebook? Is it Google? Is it Amazon? Is it the other ones?
All of them.
Netflix.
Netflix. Is Netflix here? I don't know about so. Netflix, actually. But most of the tech headquarters are here. Yes. Nice. So, nice. Meaning that there are a lot of jobs, a lot of tech jobs, if you're looking to get in, even if you're not in tech. I mean, like, in this part of the world, they treasure experience over degrees. That's why I told you don't have to get a master's degree if you don't need to. You treasure experience over degrees, so you can have all your degrees and certificates, especially in the tech ecosystem where degrees don't really matter. Not like they're not important. Mm. They matter, but if there are two people standing and somebody has gone to school for 8 years and another person has 8 years of experience, they would rather employ the person who has 8 years of experience rather than employing somebody who just got out of school that they have to train. It's an economic decision. Financial decision, because they have to invest in you before you start giving back to them.
Mm-hmm.
But they would rather employ somebody who already knows.
I need to ask, what motivated your move to Ireland? Because, I mean, it was one of that countries. So why did you say?
Okay, so when I was looking for schools and when I was applying, I had different schools in different countries. I applied for a school, two schools in the UK. I applied for the other country. I think in the UK, in the US. So basically, what really drove my decision was the scholarship opportunities for me. I wanted to get a scholarship to study because it's expensive and I didn't want to pay that huge sum of money. Anyway, so I really wanted to get a scholarship to study, and the scholarships I was seeing in Canada were not that favorable in the sense that, I mean, you can see a school worth $22,000 and the scholarship is $5,000. Oh, where am I going to get the rest from? It was not sustainable, basically. And I could hardly find scholarships in Canada that would cover either full or half. At least half, at least, would have been manageable. But I personally, I can't speak for anybody else, but me, I was not seeing them. Schools in Canada are very, very expensive, especially the good ones. And I don't want to go to an anyhow school because, like, schools matter. Like, school names really give you a leverage. I mean, like, that's what I've come to also realize, and I'm grateful for. I went to a good school here in Ireland, at least. School names give you a leverage in the job market, because if you're looking to start your career and you want to get a job in whichever country you end up in, your school name really matters, because there are some companies that are in partnership with these schools to get their students when they graduate. And these are usually with the top schools. So, I mean, just look at schools like Harvard or Stanford. All these big companies, Google, all these big companies anyway, they have partnerships. Some of them have partnerships with these schools to get their graduates. So they can literally just say, and we need 10 people from Stanford. And they will share it to the graduating class or share it to whoever is in the year or has the experience that they require. And they will consider those people first. If they are going to be streamlining their candidates, not to discriminate or anything, but like they do it. I won't even tell you they don't. They do it. They look at the schools that these graduates come from, and they, you know, consider them based on that sometimes. So yeah, it really gives you a leverage when you go to a good school in whichever country you go to. So back to what I was saying, I was looking for a scholarship, and money was a big factor for me because my father is not Dangote. So I had to find one where I could get a scholarship in, and Canada was not that favorable, so I just canceled Canadian schools totally. And I was also looking for countries that are beneficial to graduates, meaning that would I be able to get a job there when I finish from the school? So, if that was not possible, then, you know, the country will also be, you know, struck off the list. So I was down to the UK and Ireland. Ireland was not something I chose by myself. Or it was a friend who introduced the idea of Ireland to me. on my own. I wasn't really considering it, you know. So I applied to two schools in the UK, and one of them came through. And at the time, the UK was still in the whole Brexit mess, and, you know, the guarantee for graduates after study was not very certain, and it was still very, you know, shaky and wobbly, and I didn't want to put myself in that situation. So even though I had applied, I didn't really, you know, follow through with it. So that left me with Ireland, which allows students to stay for... So the policy, the graduate policy for Ireland is that master's students would be allowed 2 years within the country after their studies to get a job. And within that 2 years, if you get a job that pays above the threshold for critical skills, which is usually tech, engineering, medicine, and natural sciences, in those fields, if you get a job within those fields that pays above 30,000 euro a year, and you can be sponsored by the company, that is, the company will say, oh, we'd like to keep this person even after 2 years, so we want to give them a permanent residency visa, which they do most of the time for their graduates that they want to retain after whichever program they're doing. So, so Ireland really gave me that. And I also got a scholarship in one of the schools I applied to, which is University College Dublin. So that was what just, you know, sold it for me. And, you know, found myself here.
Ticked my boxes. That's it. That's a very cool story. Emmanuel, I'm going to ask you again, how far did we run this thing? Because, I mean.
You can't, really. It's a very...
Come on, Emmanuel, talk to me.
What are you talking about?
I don't even know at this point.
You sound like there's life in your house at the moment. It's like, you know.
So Ofere has spoken like extensively about like life at or life in Ireland or Ireland, as Chika would say. And then she spoke about how she like got into like the scholarship program and all that. So that's really good. And that story is kind of like common among Nigerians because we have this hustling spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We tend to, for instance, for people that get jobs like tech jobs abroad, they will tell you how they apply for 100 jobs or 200 jobs.
That's the boat I'm in right now.
So it's like the hustling spirit is like present in people like us, like people in Nigeria, because we actually deserve or we want a better place. We want a better life. So in your own opinion, what are the job prospects compared to Nigeria? For instance, as a graduate in Ireland, do you stand a better chance than a graduate of a Nigerian university? Obviously, it's a very bad comparison because obviously, like, Ireland is a much better country and they have much better schools. But from your own experience, it would be nice for us to see how, let's say, how bad it is for us.
So what you're asking me is like you want me to compare what it's like between a graduate. So do you mean a master's graduate or a BSc graduate in Ireland?
You could do both.
Well, I can't really speak for BSc because I did my BSc in Nigeria. So I only did my MSc here. Yeah. So I'll speak for only MSc. So I think that at the end of the day, if you're going to do an MSc, you should definitely do it in something you're interested in. Don't just do MSc because yeah, don't you be after BSc is MSc now. Make with the go, my dear. Don't do it. Don't just choose anything. Like, just try your best to pick an area that at least you'll be interested in. If you have to do an MSc. So comparing MSc graduates here. So first of all, like graduating from an MSc has some sort of expectations to it. They expect you to, you know, have some more knowledge than you had in your BSc. So the job prospects for that are relatively favorable because it shows like you have drive and you're trying to chase knowledge and all of that. So it's good for the job prospects here. I don't know if I'm answering your question.
You're actually answering it, but like compared to studying MSc in Nigeria or like having all your education in Nigeria, is there really any difference? Or
yeah, there's a big difference. There's a big difference. Okay, very good. There's a big difference in the sense that the quality of education is totally different. Now, I can't really compare MSc in Nigeria because I didn't do it there. So I'll compare my BSc with my MSc here. It's totally different with the quality of education because you get to experience lecturers that actually enjoy their jobs and are happy to impact knowledge in people. That has an effect on how you
receive... Wow, that sounds so strange.
On how you receive the knowledge, because when you're seeing somebody that is so knowledgeable, so excited about their topic, so excited about life, coming to teach you and tell you about this thing that you probably have not heard before, it's encouraging because you're like, oh wow, this is cool, like my lecturer is so cool, that kind of thing. I don't know, but it just makes you excited to come to class every day. But it's depressing now that it's in lockdown that you have to do classes over Zoom. But like, yeah, it's very good and encouraging to see lecturers that actually want you to pass, want you to succeed, will guide you in all your even in your assignments. You have any question, you can even come and ask the assignment that they give you. You see, I can see asking question on it. So unlike Nigeria, so it's very nice, my dear. It's like everything around you is pushing you to succeed. So if you don't succeed no more, they are following you from a village. You have to go and check it. So yeah, it's
that sounds really great. Like
yeah, it's really good, and I can also tell you about the different culture shocks in my classes that I had. So I had the privilege to attend a few physical lectures in the beginning of my MSc. You know, I was going to class every day and attending lectures before the pandemic. Yeah. So it's really interesting to see, you know, lecturers that are excited to teach and are happy to impart knowledge and are not rude or mean or intentionally annoying, you know. Even though there are still those ones, definitely, you always have those kind of teachers. There's no running away from it. But in general, you see that they're just trying to make you do better, you know? Yeah. Trying to make you do better. So in one of my classes, right, I tell everybody this story because it's so hilarious to me. So in one of my classes called Information Studies, my lecturer, she's of Asian American descent. She's so lively. She's so active and so full of life. This woman is over 50, but she's just so lively and active. And just her energy when she comes to class, you just feel so excited naturally. Like, you don't know why, but you're just happy to attend the class. Some people just go to the class and sit down, not really because they want to listen, but because it just feels nice. Some people used to go to attend her classes just because, you know, like, I don't have anywhere to go, or instead of going home to just sit down and do nothing, I'll just attend Kalpana Shankar's class, you know? That's her name. So, one of my classes, we were talking about misinformation in technology and how the spread of misinformation has gone rampant these days and everything. And she talked about the idea of reviews online and how people can even spread misinformation through reviews just to spite either the developer or the owner of the product, or just because the person, you know, cancel culture and all of that stuff going on. And also how people, you know, how people take these reviews and their statuses on review accounts, like what's that one that's for travel again? What's it called?
TripAdvisor,
thank you very much. And how people, you know, are so territorial with their reviews, and how, you know, they're the best reviewers and everything like that. And yeah, so we're just talking about that. And all of a sudden, you know, class was quiet and we're just listening to the ones just to. All of a sudden, one girl from the back of the class just said, I have a story about that. She just, as per, basically, the teacher was talking. People don't understand. The teacher was talking. And she said, oh, I have a story about interrupted the teaching that she was teaching. A whole lecturer. And the woman really kept quiet though and said, "Oh, really? Tell us, tell us." I said, "Eh, eh."
What?
When I say, when she said, "Oh, I have a story about that," all the antennas in my head just started ringing. Oh, my, this girl don't mess up. As well, if he was, you know, was in Nigerian class, who bore you? Who bore your papa?
You know the thing is funny.
Raise your voice like that and tell us you have a story. Story key, you dear.
I think before we travel or before we experience all these things, we usually hear stories about them, right? Like, you obviously have friends that school abroad, and they'll be like, "Oh, this is how things go down in my class, and this is how they," and you naturally be surprised that, "Wow, that's amazing." But then when you eventually travel, what they obviously told you, what is happening, because you still have to be shocked, because, I mean, seeing it happen firsthand is still on a different level of amazement. Like, wow, okay, so this actually happens. Because compared to what you're used to, it's just totally different.
But yeah, it was a very, what's the word? It was a big shock, because naturally in Nigerian schools, that wouldn't happen, because the lecturer is the god of the class and you dare not interrupt when he's talking or when she's talking, because you're scared that they would tell you to get out of their class or something. So it was really interesting to see that, you know, they really crave like interaction with the students as much as they want to also impart knowledge in you. So they don't just want to come talk and go. They also want you to, you know, input your own ideas of what you know, to either correct you or to agree with you or whatever. And another big culture shock was the fact that if you're wrong with an answer, they will never tell you you are wrong. Like, if I raise my hand to answer a question and it's wrong, they will never ever tell you, "Oh, you are very wrong, sit down," or "No, that's not right." They will say, "Okay, that's close, but how about you think about it like this?" I was like, wow. You know?
Wow.
That's really
in Nigerian schools,
really interesting to see.
You can feel the cost.
Yeah, that's really cool. I wish Nigerian lecturers would just understand that it's not like we're disrespecting them or our youthfulness in quotes that is making us act like that, because they have this, they focus a lot on morals, which is equally good, but sometimes they focus so much that they forget like the primary thing of impacting knowledge. So
yeah.
It's something Nigerian lecturers should learn. Like, if they don't learn it, like, collaboration between lecturers and students is very important, right? So if lecturers are the ones that are making that process difficult, then we have a long way to go in Nigeria. Yeah. Okay, so we're getting close to the end now, and we just like to know how to relocate. Basically, a lot of people have the goal of leaving Nigeria to a better place, right? So what steps did you take? You already mentioned some of them, but it'd be nice to like itemize it so that anyone who wants to move to Ireland or who wants to study in Ireland would have like pointers, and then whatever links, whatever references you have, we'll share in the show notes. Offer the tips.
Okay, so I can only speak for Ireland, like I said before. And also I can only speak for relocating to Ireland via the education route. So if you're looking to relocate to Ireland through school, that is doing a master's degree, it will be best, first of all, to research the different schools here in Ireland, because the one I attended is not the only school here, of course. There are seven universities here, seven good universities, by the way. And you can choose from these options. Now, they're the very expensive ones, and they're the ones that are not so expensive. So keeping in mind your financial status in applying for the different schools and the ways you're going to source for the funds to pay for those fees is what should guide your choice. So if money is not your problem, then schooling in Ireland would be very easy and would be very straightforward. I would always advise to go for the best schools, that is Trinity College Dublin or University College Dublin. Yeah, those are the top two. So because, like I said, some of these, I mean, if you're looking to go use this as a to launch into your career path also, it's very important to be mindful of the schools you go to, because it's also it helps you and it also helps your career. Because if you're looking to be starting a career, like starting your career goals or career path here, and you're going through entry level jobs, then schools matter in a particular way. It can help you. It can help you. I'm not saying that that's the only way, but it helps, you know, it helps. So first step would be choosing the school. So there are other schools in Ireland also that are relatively cheap and affordable. Not only the universities, they're also the colleges. Those ones are also not very expensive. So first of all, know your financial status and what can fit that. So the next step would be the whole visa process, which is the bigger step, I think. Yeah. So most schools here, if you're doing a master's from Nigeria, most schools don't require IELTS. So the schools don't require it, but the visa requires it. So that's why we're going to talk about visa processes now. So what you need most of the time is your transcript from your undergraduate degree, your passport, obviously, a proof of funds, which is usually 6,000 euro at least in a particular account. And yeah, that should go for you. That should fit for your proof of financial assistance. So this means that even though you have a scholarship, you have to be able to fend for yourself when you come to the country. So they expect to see a flow of funds in an account with at least 6,000 euro. So, and your IELTS results, because like I said, visa requires you to submit IELTS. I'm so sorry, guys, but we don't mean anything to them. So they want us to write English tests, even though we speak English. So those are the most important things. And passport photographs. Yeah, so those are the most important things. I can't think of anything else. And statement of purpose. Most schools require that. And also the visa requires that. And just to wrap this up, because I may be missing information, because it's not my job to help people do their visas, I would really recommend an agency that is free and they help you through from even choosing schools to getting a scholarship to preparing your visa documents, even till you get out of the country. They're going to be following you like ants that follow sugar. And the agency is called UKEAS.
Did you say free?
It is free, 100% free. You don't pay a dime.
Wow.
Yes, you don't That's pay nice. A dime for anything. You have your personal counselor that follows through everything that you have to do, and they help you through it all until you leave the country. And they're trusted in the sense that if you go through them, it's less likely that your visa gets declined if you follow all their procedures, and it is 100% free. So check out UKEASNG on Instagram or whichever social media you use, or just go to their website at www.ukas.ng or something like that. I'm not really sure, but you probably put it in the show notes. Yes, thank you very much. So that's a free agency, and it's very trusted. That's what I use. Even though I didn't use it from the very beginning, I had already gotten my application and already gotten my scholarship before I even found out about them. So I just used them for my visa process. And I got my visa in 3 weeks, guys. It takes 3 months, okay? That's how good it is. It takes 3 months to get your Irish visa, but I got mine in 3 weeks.
Wow.
So that only happens if you get all your documents correct and all your stories align, and there are no pit stops. There's no comma. They're not saying that you have 6,000, but it's not really your account. It's your uncle's, daddy's, father's, daughter's gardener. That owns the account. They're like, where are you stealing the money from?
I wish I could see 6,000.
But there's a way around it. My father did not have 6,000 in his account. Okay. So there's a way around it. So when you work with UCAS, they give you different options on how to go about these things. making sure that it's authentic, because, you know, it has to be authentic. They That's don't want nice. To give shady people visas, you know?
Okay. Oh, this is actually very insightful. Look at me here, jotting things down. Thank you so much.
So, yeah, okay. I look forward to seeing you guys in Ireland next year, or whenever you guys are ready. I'll always be here to receive you.
Woo! I mean, we go run out.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much. That was really insightful. A lot of people focus so much on the US, Canada, UK, and they don't know about other countries that are.
Yeah. Ireland is a peaceful country. It's nice.
Easier route. Yeah.
Yo, even though we didn't talk about the negative parts of Ireland, but yeah, that's fine. You know.
you can talk about it if you want, I guess.
Not to discourage anybody or anything, but there's a housing crisis in this country at the moment. So housing is quite expensive. So during the time when the tech headquarters started to come here, they assumed that everybody was rich. And then all of a sudden, all the rent started going up. And it has been going up ever since then. So there's a serious housing crisis here. And you can see mediocre houses and rooms for really exorbitant prices.
So
It's outrageous. It's worse than Lagos because we pay rent monthly. So it's nothing like Lagos. It's that bad. But I mean, if you get a small part-time job, you know, you can always fend for yourself. But that's one thing that is really terrible here is the housing crisis. Very expensive houses for mediocre quality of houses. But yeah, let's go on.
Wow. So before we finish, we'd just like to know how your tech journey is, a short summary of
how has it been so far? Been
from school till now, you know, just give us a little.
Because, I mean, you're inside the ecosystem and, you know, we have to know how you've been doing inside the ecosystem. So, you know, as well, how is the ecosystem over there as well? Like, you know, the level of intelligence, you know, innovation and stuff.
Guys, stop comparing us.
No, I'm not comparing us. That's a general question.
So I studied computer science, like I said, and from my undergraduate degree, learning programming, I enjoy programming, right? It's something that's, you know, makes me think, and I love anything that makes me think. But yeah, so it is my passion is my poison.
Wow. That's deep.
So, what was I saying? So, yeah, I worked an internship in a fintech company. I did Java for Android for about 9 months, and it wasn't fun. I didn't enjoy it at all. I mean, I did it. It was nice, but it wasn't cute. I didn't enjoy it that much. I learned a lot. I learned a lot of things. You can defend Java for all I care, but that thing is boring. But yeah,
shots fired.
I did it for 9 months, and it wasn't fun at all. I didn't enjoy it, so I just knew that this is not what I want to do with my life, definitely. And this is something that propelled me to.
Sounds so depressing.
I can say I was depressed, but this is a lively podcast, so let's not talk about that here. But it wasn't fun. I'll just put it that it wasn't fun. Okay, so.
Okay.
That's what even propelled me to go and do a master's in information systems, to get a more general knowledge of, you know, things that are in tech, but not necessarily programming, just to know what that's like, you know.
Okay.
So I did that, and then I came here, and I've been applying for jobs also in my field. I hope to work in a field that has to do with programming, but it's not what we do every day. So areas like product management, where you also have to work with developers, project management, or cloud support, or just cloud management, because most of the time it's programming, but it's not really programming also. Like you do programming, but not all the way. Am I right or am I wrong? I don't know.
Right.
I haven't worked yet.
I guess you're right.
I'm not sure.
Don't worry, you're right.
Exactly. So that's what I enjoy doing. I enjoy areas of technology that are very mindful of users, in the sense that you're not just making products, just let's make products because let's create a solution. You're also minding, you're also mindful of the fact that how is this affecting the people that are using it, in form of ethics, in form of user experience, very, very important. Design, mindful design, or how do you call it, functional design or intentional design. So I really enjoyed those things. So for now, I'm really just exploring. One of the roles I've been applying for is in cloud support, and I hope to not work there for more than 1 year. So I really am about exploring and seeing how other areas of tech are that do not necessarily have programming at the center. So in summary, I'm a runaway programmer.
That's nice. You should listen to our last episode, since you said you don't want to work there for more than 1 year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're talking about tech transfers. That's the people that do 6 months and then they find another company to apply to.
Well, not necessarily find another company, but perhaps in a company that is growth inclusive or progressive. Okay, so, like, you can change, so I can move to another department, or you can learn more about something else.
Makes sense. Makes sense. That's cool. I don't really know what information systems is about. I don't know if it would even know.
Yeah, so like I said, it's a much more general area of tech. So it's the area that is very mindful of, sorry, not mindful, that has to do with information management, information architecture, the way information is shared, distributed, used.
Okay.
So we It just has to do with the area that has to do with how information is shared, how information is managed. So it covers many things, basically. It's not just one thing. Information is, or data is just, it's general. Everywhere in tech, you use data. So it's you can say it's a very general field that encompasses everything. So, for example, for part of my degree, I did courses on user experience design. I did web programming also. We did information studies. That is talking about how information affects society, misinformation, deep fakes, just about all those different topics in technology that affects society, or how society affects technology, or, you know, vice versa. So just all of those topics that have to do with ethics. I did a course on augmented reality and virtual reality, you know, mobile health and privacy, security, those topics, you know, topics that are very, very up there in technology that you always have to be mindful of when you're making any product. So you take into consideration the people using these products that you're making, and you're not just spewing out products or solutions just because you can, you know. So it's quite interesting, because that's what I enjoy. I enjoy talking about these topics or these things. And I mean, like, you don't just wake up one day and say you want to create a solution that does this. What is the function? Is it if you not create this thing, would the world still be the same that it is now? If it is, then there's no need for this your solution, my dear brother.
Yeah, when you're aggressive, I don't like it.
So aggressive.
Yeah. Ethics is very important. Ethics is very, very important. Yeah. Privacy, very, very important, you know, in this kind of world that we're in, of the Mark Zuckerberg internet.
Yeah. So we're done with the episode, and I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as we did. I mean, I learned a lot. I'm sure Trika too learned a lot. Even Ofre, I'm sure she learned it from herself. So it was really insightful. Thank you so much for joining us. And hopefully you'll be back. Tell us more about Ireland. You know, maybe give us...
Yeah, definitely. When I get into Ireland, the job market, I'll be back.
Yeah.
We're excited for that. So all the tips that Ofre gave, we'll put them in the show notes so that you can learn more about them. And then you can reach out to her on her Twitter.
Yeah.
Someone told me that we used to pronounce Twitter in a very funny way. Anyways, her Twitter handle is Ofre_you. Ofre_you. So you can send a DM or just wow.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
No problem. Anything right. for you.
Thank you so much for joining us on this episode, and hope to see you next time. Hope to have you on it.
To be back too.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for having me. I had fun.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Remember, we release new episodes every other Wednesday, and you can subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcast, whether that's Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. If you would love to connect with us, you can follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at Inside the Techos, or subscribe to our newsletter and shoot us an email at InsideTheTechosystem@gmail.com. We love hearing from our listeners. You can follow the host on Twitter as well, Chuka at CYDUGU and Emmanuel at Olaluwa_98. All right, see you in the next one.